All right, well, last week we started at least a series, more than one at least, on praying in the Spirit. We're going to review a little bit about what we talked about, praying in the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Could you put up Romans 8:26? I encourage you to go back and listen to that message. It'll be up for you to listen to if you didn't hear it. Romans 8:26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." According to the will of God. So we don't know how to pray. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. That means He takes the part on our behalf for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. God knows more than we are ever going to know. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about every situation. He knows everything about everything. And to know His heart and to know His mind is to understand like Him. Well, we don't. We won't. Ever. We'll never be Him. We'll never know like He knows. Even though we're going to live forever, we're never going to catch up. He is so far beyond us. He has always been, and we're just here for a little bit. You know, think about it. The people that we read about in the Bible, some of them are thousands of years old now. But they're still, they're nowhere near God. And as much as we honor some of them that have gone before us, they don't know like He knows. And we don't know definitely like we will know here on this earth. We don't see clearly. That's not a bad confession. We don't see everything. We don't know everything. We don't understand everything, but we can understand by God's word. We can understand what's truth. That's why we always have to look at what's going on around us in light of God's word, because if you just go by what you see and what you feel, it's going to mess us up. Because we don't understand. And you know what? You'll have help. The devil will say, "Well, what about this?" And he knows full well the situation behind it. He knows exactly what was going on, and but he knows you're ignorant, and he knows you only see certain things, and he will lie to you and say, "Well, what about that? Why did that person do that? Maybe they thought this." And he knows exactly what was going on. I mean, he's not omnipotent. He doesn't know everything, but he does know some things. And, you know, there are evil spirits around, and they can be around and find stuff out and know stuff. They don't know everything. They can't read your mind. But they've been around humans a long time, and so they can just see what's going on. But they can poke you. And the enemy will lie to you and tell you something about a certain situation, and he knows he's lying, but he knows you don't know he's lying unless you're going to discern your situation by the Word. So that's why we have to stay on the side of the Word and what the Spirit of God is leading us to do. And so He is far above us, and He can lead us and guide us where we don't know what to do, where we don't know how to go forward. He knows. And one of the ways that we will discern what to do is by praying in the Spirit. That's one of the reasons it is so important. We pray in the Spirit. That's praying out of your spirit. Your spirit's praying by the Holy Spirit within you. Well, it's by the Holy Spirit that's giving unction. He knows all things, so He can lead you and guide you to pray in areas and in directions your mind doesn't know. So and you can pray out things. Imagine if you knew exactly what was going to happen in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and you knew what was coming down the road. Well, you would act differently. You'd be able to pray differently because you would know exactly what was coming, just like in certain situations that have come up, then you can pray. But what about the future? What about situations you know now, but you don't know everything that's behind them? So you can pray with what you see, but you don't see behind. You see this much, but there is this much the situation. Well, how are you going to know to pray about all that? You don't even know that this over here is going on. But God does. I said God does. And He knows this thing over here too. And He knows what this person's doing. And He knows this situation. And He knows this thing that's coming down the road in a little bit. And when we yield to Him and pray, we're praying out mysteries, the Bible says. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:2. Well, we don't have to turn there, but they'll put it up on the screen. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Well, not a mystery to God, mystery to us. But thank God we can pray by the unction of the Holy Spirit, pray out things to come, pray out mysteries. Thank God we can yield to Him and not be limited by our natural understanding, experience, circumstance, mind, emotions. We can bypass all of that and be praying out the will of God for our lives. That's amazing. Do you see why the enemy has tried to shut it down, mock it, make it just off, you know, fringe? These are weird people that are... No. There is a reason why it has been attacked. It's in the Bible. We'll go through these things. But I want to stir us up. This is vital equipment. This isn't something we're supposed to just shelve and, like, you know, in certain real serious situations we pull it out, or just when we're in a prayer service, then we pull it out. No, we're supposed to be praying all the time. You know, can't pray every minute of every day, but we can be in an attitude of prayer. And we can be yielding. You can be praying while you're going down the road, praying in other tongues. You can pray in English too, but you don't have to engage your mind a lot. You know, during certain tasks, you know, depending on what kind of job you have, doing certain tasks where your mind's not involved as much, you can be praying out there. Because your mind doesn't have to be involved. I mean, say, you know, if you're talking to somebody, it's pretty hard to do, but if you're not, if you're doing a task, you can be praying in other tongues. Your spirit is praying. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:14. We'll put that up. Again, we went over some of these, but we're just touching on some of these things. We're going to get into some other scriptures and examples of people, but just, you know, what are some of the benefits of praying in the Spirit? 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." My spirit prays. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Not your head. Thank God our head, you need your brain. You need your brain to articulate your lips, but you're not praying out of your head. You know, you can be doing things out of your head. You can be doing things from your heart. Here it's saying your spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That means your understanding is going, what? And that's okay. I said, that's okay. See, sometimes we mess ourselves up because we're thinking, well, I don't understand. Well, how many things don't you understand? There's a whole lot we don't understand. So, what does that have to do with anything? It has nothing to do with it. God, we go by what the Word says. If the Word says it, then we go by that. And we have got to operate in this life according to what He said, not according to circumstance, not according to our understanding. If we go by our understanding, we are going to be limited and not live the Spirit-filled, overcoming life that He has ordained we live. Amen. We cannot just shelve the what He has given us and just live in the natural. That is not good enough. We live in a fallen world with supernatural beings that are doing you know, things behind the scenes, and we need the power of God, and we need to be yielding to Him because He knows what's really going on. He knows what's going on behind the situation. Now, there is not a devil behind every doorknob. You can go in one extreme or the other with any subject. Some people, you know, believe there isn't any devil. Pretty much. If you listen to, I'm talking about Christians. I'm not even talking about unbelievers. If you listen, everything is God. Well, who needs a devil when God's doing all the destruction? And there is no devil. I mean, on it, they'll acknowledge there is a devil, I would say, but God's doing the dirty work. God's destroying people. God's taking people out. God's behind this. God's behind that. And demons, well, that was a misunderstanding that ignorant people, you know, 2,000 years ago wrote about, but we know that there's not really any spiritual. Really? No, there's definitely a spiritual world. But then on the other, so we can ignore the spiritual, or we can go over to the other extreme, and we could think everything, there's a devil behind everything. Somebody said something bad, they're being motivated by the devil. Well, maybe indirectly, but, you know, I mean, we live in a fallen world. They picked it up from somewhere, and you don't have to even be motivated by the devil. Just turn on the TV, and the junk that's coming out was motivated by the devil at some point, but it's on autopilot half the time now. He just spun it up and let it go, and people just, it's the spirit of the devil. It's wickedness, but it's not like he's back there. There isn't enough demons to do that with all the people on the earth. You know, think about it. People keep multiplying. There's nothing that we know of that says the devils are multiplying. So they got a lot more work to cover. A lot of territory. So no, not everything's that, but there is a reality. We need to go down the center of the road. There is a spiritual. There is a natural. But we need to know we are spirit beings. What does it say? My spirit prays. Well, what? We're talking about our spirit praying. Well, what's that? I mean, my understanding is unfruitful. Well, we just got done saying it's our spirit, not understanding. So we need to understand if we're going to walk according to God, there's going to be a whole lot of things that we don't understand. And if we yield to Him, then we'll bypass some of the things that are limited by understanding. If we get used to it, now we're not saying turn off your brain and don't, no, God gave us a brain, but we don't let our experience be dictated by our brain and what we can understand. It's going to be a sorry existence. We can't understand the new birth, getting born again with your head. Can we? No. We can't understand how Jesus came to earth, born of a virgin. Explain that. You can't, but by faith. You can't explain it by your head. You can't articulate it. So then, when we get over into these things, we need to understand there is a realm that's beyond the natural. And for us to function in that realm, we have an earth body that helps us get around in this world, but it's not all there is. It's not all there is. There is so much more. There is so much more to life than what we see, and situations than what we see. God knows. God knows everything that's going on. Glory to God. He knows what's coming in a year. He know people all the time trying to predict what's coming. And then we find out, you know, well, that wasn't right, but then everybody forgets because they're predicting the next thing. And we just go look at a track record, we realize people are not very good at it. But God knows, so we can trust Him. We can be praying out our future. Somebody said it like this. It's like you're praying out, when you're praying out your future, praying in the Spirit. It's like you're laying track for a train. You're the train. It's like you're laying track for that train to run on. Praying out ahead of where you're at now. Praying things out. covering things. God, you're yielding to God. Who's praying through you? The Spirit of God is by the Spirit of God, your spirit is praying. So He is directing. He's guiding. He's taking care of situations and things coming up. And then you just walk them out. But it's things that have been prayed out. You know, you come up against a situation, you know what to do. Why? Because you've spent time praying about it. It's powerful. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14:15. We'll put that up. It says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. See, there is a prayer with the Spirit, prayer with the understanding. There's singing with the Spirit. There is singing with the understanding. We need to know. Pastor Hagin, this is one of his sayings. If you've ever been around him preaching much, not too long, he'll say this. It's the combination of the natural and the supernatural that makes an explosive force for God. If we're all natural, we're going to miss the spiritual side of things. We're going to miss the supernatural, the moving of God. But if we're all, it's not to say, of course, if you were all supernatural, then you would actually be walking in the right thing. But all like too, how to say it, you're not spiritual, because spiritual is good too, but you have your mind in things that aren't really spiritual but kind of lofty, but you're not grounded in truth. If we're just kind of woo-woo out here, we don't have our feet on the ground at all, we're not going to do anything in this earth. You know, like locking yourself up and never talking to anybody and just, you're just going to fellowship with God all the time. Well, okay, there can be a season or a time for that, or certain people are called to certain things, but by and large, God is going to bring us down to where we are using natural approaches to things and combined with spiritual. We cannot negate the spiritual, though, because then we've just cut off a good portion of our help. I mean, we rely on God, but you might be gifted naturally in some things, but if we just ignore the spiritual, we just took out our advantage. God wants to help us. God, the Almighty, the King of the universe is saying, I know about that. You go, no, I got it. I'm smart in this area. Okay. You know, you think of the most, you know, forward, renowned person in any given area. Let's say they are the complete expert, acknowledged expert in area. A five-year-old telling that person that they got it, they don't need their help in that area, that, you know, I know enough, does not even begin to compare to us telling God that. The gap between the five-year-old and the expert is about like this. And you don't even see the ends of the way it is between God. When God is saying, I'll help you, we should say, okay, I need help. What do I do about that? How can I do it? And, you know, we ought to say, well, we know, I know enough. I can figure it out. Well, that's not good enough. It's just not good enough. We need His direction and guidance, and it comes. See, the part we need to understand, the part of us that's born again is our spirit. Our mind isn't born again. Our flesh is not born again. And so we need to understand the part that's communing with God is our spirit. So if He's communicating and praying through us, we're praying out spiritual things, weighty things. 1 Corinthians 14:8 says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul is saying, I do it more than all of you. Okay. So he prays in tongues more than you all. And look who wrote a good portion of the New Testament. He did. Was used. He was the vessel that the Holy Spirit used. Of course, the Holy Spirit is the author of the whole Bible. Different human writers, same author throughout the whole Bible, same message woven together. But this is not a side thing. This is supposed to be integral. We are supposed to be practicing this gift, praying out things. One aspect is as we're praying out, we're connected with our spirit. We said our spirit prays, right? So when we're praying, we are automatically just, we have to yield to our spirit. Well, that's good, because when you're walking around, it's easy to want to yield to your flesh. And we're bombarded with things that are catering to our flesh, to our natural mind. Advertisements are geared to get our flesh engaged, get our desires that are natural, our mind engaged too. Are they not? That's why there are certain images associated with products that have nothing to do with those images. To sell the product. What are they trying to do? Trying to engage, get your flesh riled up about something. You know, those commercials that are showing that, you know, fast food, and it's all hot and juicy and, you know, makes you want to run out and get it. Well, those signs and everything, what are they appealing to? You're hungry. You don't know you were hungry, but now you're hungry. You know that feeling? Boy, that looks good. I haven't had one of those in a while. We need to go get some. That's exactly what we're doing. So we get pulled by the flesh all the time. Well, when we are praying, we are yielding to our spirit. So that's a good thing right there, that we're yielding to our heart. Because all the time we're tempted to yield to our flesh, we're tempted to yield to our mind. So praying in the spirit gets us in tune with our spirit. What's our spirit saying? What's our spirit saying about a situation? Your eyes may say, "Ooh, this looks good. This is the right way to go." But your heart, the more we're in tune with our heart, can say, "No, that's not it." Or, "Yeah, that's a good way to go." And your eyes may say, "Boy, I'd never go over there. That doesn't look like a good thing." And your heart is saying, "That's the way to go. That's it." Jumping up and down. Well, how do we get more sensitive? Praying in the Spirit will help us. Be led by the Spirit of God. Jude 20, read this too. We'll keep moving. We don't want to move too fast though, right? What's the point of just moving fast and then not getting it? We'll go to the next message and then what if we never get anything? What are we doing? Just talking a lot. And then, you know where it gets? It gets up in our head, but we don't really get it in our heart. Well, you know where? We need it out there. We need it at the office. We need it in home. We need it in traffic. Like what we've had. You know, this little bit. You come down Main Street, you're going to have some traffic. We need to be led. We need to know what God is saying. Jude 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Now, we read, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. My spirit, real quick, can you put up, we'll come back to Jude 20, but 1 Corinthians 14:14 in the Amplified. Can we go back there? I wanted you to see this. It says, "What is the if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays." See, it's our spirit, but it's by the Holy Spirit. He is helping us, but it's our spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't praying, you know, grabbing your tongue and making you pray. He won't do that. He's a gentleman. And what we're jumping ahead here, but some people think, well, I'm, you know, they're praying to be filled with the Spirit or something. They're saying, "I'm okay, God, move my lips." He's not going to do that. Devils try to do that. God will not. Whenever you feel pushed, not nudged, God will nudge you. He's a gentleman. He's a good father. But if you feel driven, you feel pushed, that is the devil. Because God does not push. People say, "Well, God made me do it." No, He didn't. God won't make people get saved and miss hell. He's not going to make us do something. But Satan will drive you. Satan will push you. You don't drive sheep, you lead sheep. You drive cattle, you're pushing them. But sheep, shepherd's out leading and the sheep follow. So God will help us, the Spirit will help us to pray. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. Your mind. But that's okay. Because at this point, we're not looking to the mind. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. This is another aspect. We're covering a lot of what we covered last week. We'll go maybe a little bit further. But we need to understand the usage of these things. We need to understand why we're talking about this. Building yourselves up, that means to build upon. Building something, building a building, you're constructing, building that. It's talking about building up. Build upon. Charging. Like you talk about a battery, charging, you're edifying, you're bolstering it. When we're praying in the Spirit, we are building ourselves up. Spiritually, when you build yourself, you work out, you may be building yourself up physically. When you're doing mental exercise, they have these apps that are exercising your brain. Now, you can do these different exercises or little games. That's exercising your mind. Well, praying in the Holy Spirit, you're building yourself up, the spirit part of us, so that we know, so we're sensitive to what He's saying. Thank God. Now let's turn over, we'll just get into this a little bit. Go ahead and turn there, Mark 16. Mark 16. Verse 14. Mark 16, verse 14 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I'm not going to talk about this much, but just a little insertion. Verse 18, they will take up serpents. You look at other places in the Word, and Luke, it talks about, I don't really want to touch on this, but just I'm going to show you one thing. Can you put up Luke 10:19 real quick? That's not on the list I gave them, but they can get up. Luke 10:19. Keep your finger, though, in Mark. If you want to turn over there, it's fine. But can you just put it in the New King James? It says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Not teaching on this, but I just want to throw this in. When it's saying serpents in Mark 16, it says, don't go back over there with the screen. We'll stay on Luke for a second. But it says, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly. Well, two things there. Number one, you see, Paul, he took up a serpent when he was a viper, it says, when he was on Malta, and he was near the fire, and the fire drove out a viper, and it fastened itself on him, and he just shook the thing off into the fire. And all the natives were looking at him thinking he's going to swell up and die because they've seen this before. And he just shook it off and nothing happened. Then they decided he was a god and they started bowing down to him. But nothing will harm you, it said there. You will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. But also here, the first part of Mark, it said that these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. Here, it says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions." What are those? Literal serpents and scorpions? Look at the next part. "And over all the power of the enemy." So is he concerned with you going out and trampling on serpents and scorpions? He says, "And over all the power of the enemy." Those are types. Those are symbols of the enemy, of satanic forces. "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." See, same thing. They would, if they drink anything deadly, it said in their thing, it will by no means hurt them. Same language. People have gone off in the weeds again. We're going to handle snakes because it's in the Word of God. And then some of them get bit and die. Well, God wasn't faithful. Well, don't pick up a poisonous snake. That's not rightly dividing the Word. Amen. Let's go back over to Mark. Verse 17. It said, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." Notice that. Okay, so just look. Let's look at all these things. These signs will follow preachers? No. These signs will follow prophets of God? No. Evangelists? No. Missionaries? No, it says these signs will follow those who believe in my name. Notice that. In my name, they will cast out demons. Poor Jesus did not know that demons weren't real. They will speak. I'm being sarcastic. They will speak with new tongues. They will speak with new tongues. Those that believe. Somebody say, well, Jesus didn't say anything about speaking in tongues. Sure he did. Jesus didn't speak in tongues. That's because he hadn't gone to the cross and the Holy Spirit hadn't come. Who helps us pray? When your spirit's praying, who's helping your spirit to pray? Well, the Holy Spirit hadn't come. Jesus said, "I will send you another comforter." And that's what a comforter, another one like himself. And that's what we'll see. We'll get to it, I think, in Acts just in a moment. Jesus said, "You wait till you're endued with power." Well, that's when the Holy Ghost came. That's when the Holy Spirit came. That's the day of Pentecost. Jesus was not, he manifested the seven of the nine gifts of the Spirit. The only gifts of the Spirit he didn't manifest were the tongues and interpretations. Because they weren't for that dispensation. Therefore, now you see the other gifts throughout the Word. The power gifts, you see them in the Word. Working of miracles, you see that in the world. Gifts of healings, you see that in the Old Testament. They've been throughout. Now they're in a different form. You know, the Holy Spirit is here, but the working of the Spirit of God, He indwells believers, but the working of the Spirit of God has been throughout. You see throughout the Word. But here it says, they will speak with new tongues. You can go to the next verse. They will take up serpents, just talked about that. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. So if we're, you know, we need to know this because there's a lot of junk, even if we don't know We don't know everything that's in our food. I mean, yes, you have an ingredients list, but you don't know where all it's been and touched. That's why they have these outbreaks of somebody handled something at this distribution point, and all of a sudden they're recalling stuff. Doesn't have anything to do with the ingredients. There's some extra ingredients that got put in there. That's why we need to believe God. We need to pray over our food. And not just as a tagline, we need to believe when we're praying that we're blessing that food and it's going to be well. And we have scripture to stand on that it's going to be fine. Even if a bunch of people around us are keeling over and throwing up, we can believe God, we're going to be okay. Because the word says it, and we need to know this. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So these are all things that believers are supposed to do. Notice in verse 17 that speaking in other tongues is one of them. Speaking with new tongues. Amen. Real quick, and then we'll stop here and we'll pick up. This okay? We're teaching. We're going to keep going. We'll keep going next week. Acts 1, verse 4. If you want to turn there, you can real quick. Acts 1, verse 4. Acts 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now let me ask you a question. Were these Christians? At this point, I'm not trying to trick you. These were Christians now. Jesus has already he's telling them to wait in Jerusalem. He commanded them. He's already risen, right? He has already risen from the dead. These are Christians, but notice he said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So this is not the same experience. If they're just baptized in the Holy Spirit, when they're born again, they're already born again. But Jesus said, wait. Well, if they have everything they need, they've seen Jesus. Jesus already risen from the dead? He already went to the cross? Get out there and preach the gospel. No. Jesus told him no. He told him wait. Is Jesus smarter than us or not? Yes. Does he know what we need or not? Yes. Does he know what they needed? Yes. We need what the early church needed. Now, that was the church in its infancy. We don't do, you know, things have changed as far as we have more technological advances. But here, as far as the way of operating, we see what the early church did and what they were operating in. And we have not passed that. You know, thank God we have air conditioning and things like that. But this has not gone out of style. All right, let's read verse 8 and then we'll close. It says, but you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Notice, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So this is different than what they already had. And we'll see that. We'll see some more instances of people being filled in Acts. But glory to God, we should not despise what God told us, what Jesus told us we need. If he said you need it, we'd be foolish to say, I don't need it. I'm good. Thank you, but I'm good. We don't need that anymore in you know, the 2000s. We're good. No, we're not. Just look around you. Look around what's going on. No, we need what he said we need. Glory to God.